Welcome, Alex, to Executives.
Pleasure being here. Thank you.
Do you have a morning ritual? What is it?
Yes, morning rituals. Obviously, when I get up, I take about a minute and a couple sometimes and take very deep breaths. And just that brings me a lot of focus. And then I get up and go about my day.
You come from the hospitality sector. What is the best constructive guidance you've received in your career?
The best guidance I've gotten was to deal with issues as they happen and do not ignore them.
What do you think would probably surprise most people about you and why?
Think the biggest surprise has been that at the hotel level, as the owner of the hotel, I generally try to attend to every guest stay. I try to meet them in person and make them feel at home. And it's always nice for guests, and they get very surprised that I'm attending to them and I answer their questions, whether it's about their vacation or whether about an issue that they're having at the hotel, and it impresses them regularly.
As the president of Et Hotel, Et stands for earthy, true, timeless, and elegant. If you had to add one more word, which one would it be?
That's a tough question because that really encompasses everything I believe in. But in general, I would say refinement is what I would add to the list because we try to make sure that everything is tailored and it's refined enough for our guests.
The interesting part about at hotels is that it is no alcohol on the premise. What inspired you to make that decision?
Well, basically, we wanted to stand for wellness. We wanted to promote wellness. And we said, if you're going back to our pillars, which one of them is true, we had to be true to our guests. So we said, okay, this is really not going to serve any purpose if we're trying to be healthy and we respect our well-being. And then on the other hand, we try to destroy our bodies by drinking. So we said, let's bypass the alcohol altogether for the hotel.
Alex, what is the life mantra that you live by?
Integrity.
What have you found to be the best way of addressing rejection in your path?
I would try to understand the why, obviously, and I would try to come out of my skin and try to realize what the other person's perspective is and why they rejected what they did. And I try to modify and correct my actions to address the issue going forward.
You've been described as a five-star hotel nomad. When you started traveling the world, what were a few little details that you pay attention to when you visit other hotels?
Yes, I would say the number one is obviously the visuals, and I try to always reference the senses. So I would always reference the five senses. Is it do you have a sense of smell is heading you? Do you have a beautiful floral scent in the air? Is the touches, the experience of the food, the sounds that you experience during your stay, the sound of the water, the sound of what you experience in the room. Sometimes, in our case, we have this beautiful, sound of water that, trickling water effect that we have as guests walk into their rooms. All these senses have been a big part of my stays at other properties. And the ones that have done it, have completed pretty much. All the five senses has really stood out for me, and that's what we try to bring to Et.
What is one thing about Et hotels that a prospective client may find surprising?
Yes, the one thing that obviously working off of the wellness angle, we do have an in-house medical doctor that can attend to any guest needs, whether it's an emergency situation or it's a situation where they want to. We get a full health checkup from doing a blood examination to any kind of preventative medical treatments. We always offer this. It's an in-house doctor, and I could say from my research, I haven't seen any other hotel an in-house doctor.
In terms of business, what is the most important decision that you have made?
I think being true to the brand is the most important decision that I've made for the hotel. Being true to everything we stand for and being true to our guests, and they always feel that a genuine touch throughout their experience while they stay at the hotel.
Are you reading anything that is not related to your work?
I do read a bit on the subject lines that are my hobby. I do some film work as a hobby, and a little bit of advertising, and it that's basically what I do on the side.
If you were not working the profession and in the industry that you're working in at the moment, what other profession would have you considered to contribute to?
I would secondary to what I'm doing, I would pursue being a pilot.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, gets me to travel all over the world and experience these beautiful places.
Alex, how do you work through your fears?
I face them. I face them and I battle them and I take it one step at a time.
You also happen to be in the people business. Do you have any hidden talent?
Hidden talents. I at times have to wear multiple hats, and I get involved with many different areas of the hotel, and being in the hotel business, you have to at times be a psychologist as well. You get different types of people coming through and with different demands, with different personalities. So you have to attend to them in many different ways and make sure that they're completely pleased prior to departing the hotel.
When the heart and mind don't agree, what do you do?
I always, I always go with what my heart says, to be honest.
As a hotelier, do you have a favorite comfort food?
So yes, my comfort food would be actually one of the dishes we make at the hotel. It's called the Jadori chicken. That really is one of my favorites, and it's a beautiful mashed potato, and on top we have our chef. A chef's recipe of a beautiful chicken that's seasoned just right.
As a businessman and executive, do you have any pet peeves?
Yes, organization, making sure things are at the right angle, that the presentation is just right.
Can you please define the following word? What does satisfaction mean to you?
Satisfaction is when you can take a deep breath and say, everything is just perfect. Every angle of what I just accomplished is right, and there is not a void in that area. When you can completely fulfill that, then that's the total satisfaction.
What is one tip you have for helping people become more decisive in life?
Being more decisive, I would tell them to obviously educate themselves about what they're approaching or what is approaching them, understand every angle, and follow basically what your heart says. Once you have a full understanding,
Alex, how do you ensure you're managing your day and the day isn't managing you?
yes, the key is that I walk into the office every day with a list of tasks, and I put timelines to them, and I allocate a segment of time to each task, and I just check mark and go down the list.
Et Hotels is located in the vicinity of Disney in the Orlando area. What are at least two qualities that makes it unique to other luxury hotels?
Yes, so we have two other luxury properties at our level in town. And what makes us different is they're larger resort style hotels. Everybody is, in some ways, is another number as mass populations going through them. Here we're only 126 rooms, very tailored services, very tailored itineraries for our guests. Every guest that walks through here is acknowledged. And we get to know them, they get to know us, and that's how we take forward our battles. I mean, that's the only sword we have to fight with is our service, level of service.
If your guest had to take away one memory from their stay at the hotel, what ideal memory would you want them to have?
I would say, obviously, we'd love to have them take many, but one in particular would be the very elevated experience they have during their stay, you know, would be, I would say, their food and beverage is what I want them to take back, wanting to come back and experience the food again.
What is your one major strength?
My strength is that I can deal with multiple issues at the same time, and I do not dodge anyone or any problem that faces me. I face it.
What is the last thing you do before calling it a day?
I thank my staff. I thank them for their hard work.
Are there any exciting projects that you will be working on or rolling out soon?
We are working on expanding at hotels across North America. So we're looking at multiple locations. And obviously, for each one, we're trying to give it a, you know, obviously keeping the brand identity, but giving them each their own, you know, identifier.
And finally, if you could tell audiences, what do you do and where can people contact you?
I'm the president of Ed Hotel, and I actually get involved in the operations. You can contact me via email at alex@edhotels.com. That's E-T-T-E, hotels with an S.com. Or at our Instagram handle, which is edhotels.com.
Thank you, Alex, for joining us on ExecuPeaks.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, Greg, to ExecuPeaks. Do you have a morning ritual? What is it?
I do. Every morning I get up. First thing I do is go out and take the dogs for a walk, usually about a mile and a half walk. That gets the blood flowing, gets me nice and woke up. Then I just have my coffee and breakfast. And then every morning around 8:30 Central Time or so, I get started. And we have a definite schedule throughout the day where I will sit in front of the computer and talk to people for a certain amount of time. But every day, the morning ritual is to get up, take dogs for a walk, then have coffee and breakfast, so the blood's flowing and I'm good to go.
As an entrepreneur and a franchising consultant, what is the best constructive guidance you've received in your career?
Having a set schedule, having that routine, get down. The hard part about being an entrepreneur is, especially if you're one that does a lot of work from home, is setting that routine and getting that schedule down. So the best advice I've gotten is to make certain that you have that routine, because there can be a lot of distractions throughout the day. Get that routine going, set that schedule.
What is the best way for you to overcome rejection in your path?
I do a lot of education. And so there's not a whole lot. It's usually when I get objections, it means that I haven't presented somebody with enough information yet for them to make an informed decision one way or the other. I do get a lot of no's. Franchising is not for everybody. And we make certain I make certain that I educate people enough where they have a good feel for it. And then they know whether it's for them. So they're not really objecting. It's just like, it's not for me. Or yes, it is, but I need some more information. So education is the way to overcome objection.
Who is the ideal client for franchising?
Anybody that's looking to either become an entrepreneur full-time, or somebody who is looking for something on the side that wants to keep their day job and does, you know, only has maybe 10, 15 hours a week. There are many, and even less than that, there are many passive franchises, completely passive franchises. There's a few, but there's many semi-absentee or semi-passive franchises that you can do. So anybody that's looking to get out of the corporate career, does not want to do that anymore, or they're looking down the road and they're saying, I'm not going to have enough for retirement. How can I supplement that income? Franchising is a great way to supplement.
Is there an example of a passive franchise?
There's passive franchise in every single industry that you can do. So if you're looking for something in the brick and mortar industry, all the ones, and those are the ones that people see all the time, anywhere from automotive services, massages, restaurants, fitness studios, health. Those are all brick and mortar ones. We have a small office or a large establishment we can get into. And then services industry is where people don't necessarily see that all the time, because your clients don't know you until they need you. So essential services are great. Restoration services. There is electricians, electrical work, plumbing work, heating and air conditioning work, tutoring, senior care, all great service franchises, all can be semi-passive as well. You hire a manager, you manage the profit and loss statements, and there's many franchisees who you can call upon that have done just that and we got right now, so you can get a clear example of your role.
Greg, you've also worked in the restaurant industry. What is the greatest lesson that you learned there that has carried over into the franchising space?
Working with people. That's a restaurant industry is a really good way to get started, especially when you're young. Get used to working as a team and working with other people.
Do you have any management advice for people?
Yes, getting to know your people, what and talk to them on a regular basis. I help those restaurants become more profitable by finding out what the employees, what's their concerns about, and helping them become better people, helping them grow.
And on a typical day, what are you reading that is not related to your work?
Oh, I like anything that's not related. So the fun stuff I read a lot of science fiction is good, adventure fantasy. I like those. And then anything in the way of self-help, I always go for it. Those as well. Zig Ziglar was great. Robert Kiyosaki was great. Those are some really good, get you thinking outside of the box, what you can do and how to work with others.
Speaking of self-development, when you started out in your career path, was there a characteristic that you were aware of that benefited from developing more?
Yes, the ability to talk with people and essentially, in sales is what it is. A lot of people, as you mentioned before, are going to have objections. So I had to learn how to work with people. The first franchise that I got into was a sales franchise where I had to go talk to business owners and help them with communications, telecommunications. And so when everybody would, then they'd have objections. Whenever they said no, I'd say, okay, thank you, and walk away. But the guy that ran the franchise says, everybody's going to say no. That's a big thing. So what I needed to do was learn how to develop my sales skills, because sales is not something you do to somebody. Sales is something you do with somebody. So you're helping them overcome problems. So I had to read a lot of the sales books, especially like Zig Ziglar stated, just that sales is something you do with somebody to help them become better, to improve their services, whatever they need, you're helping. So that's what I need.
How do you work through your fears in life, Greg?
Education and knowledge. Fears is just something you don't know what the outcome is going to be at a certain time. That's the biggest thing about fears. So making certain that you have plans in place, making sure that you know what the outcome are going to be for the next steps you're going to take, and really getting those down in a written plan of action. You can overcome a lot of fears.
What is the life mantra that you live by?
Only by helping others achieve their goals and their dreams will I achieve my goals and my dreams.
Do you have a teacher or mentor that you would like to thank?
You know, there's been quite a few of them in the franchising world. Nick Neonakis was probably one of the best ones. He was a gentleman that I worked with on a previous broker organization who did it very, very well at helping me overcome and grow.
When the heart and mind don't agree, what do you do?
Well, you got to sit down and think about everything. So yes, what I go over that with my people as well. So with the heart and mind, what I look at is how you feel about something, and then how do the numbers make sense on that as well. So it's got to go both ways. You got to really sit down, pray on it if that's what you like to do, meditate on it if you'd like to do, but really think about it, have a plan of action so that you've got to feel good about it, but it's got to make sense. In my field, it's usually the numbers have to make sense and you have to feel good about them.
What is the biggest misconception about the work that you do?
A lot of people think that that they pay me for what I do. I'm actually free to all my people. My consulting services are the franchisors pay us a referral fee for like a placement agency. And that's probably the biggest misconception, and people don't necessarily know I exist and that I'm free on that part.
And what is the biggest misconception about you as a person?
I don't know if I've really had any. Anybody have any misconceptions about me? They get to know me right away. I've got all my information out there online. It's one of the first things that I do is sit down with people and talk about what I've done in the past as far as running different businesses, including franchises and privately owned business. But I'm just here to help. And so I think some people think that they don't want to necessarily contact me because they're afraid I might try to sell them a franchise. I would say that's probably the biggest misconception. I'm not out to sell people franchises. I'm out to educate them on franchising, to see if franchising is right for them in the first place. If it is, what franchises?
Speaking of franchises, is there any particular country that has the most amount of franchising?
America right now has probably got this amount of franchising, but the other countries really catching up quick. But you know, the actual data on that, I do not have. There's a lot of them.
Do you have any hidden talents?
Hidden talents. I like to grow things. So in my spare time, my hidden talent is growing fruits, vegetables, and I have 4 beehives.
Oh, wow. And speaking of fruits and vegetables, do you have any comfort food?
My comfort foods are the fruits and vegetables I grow. So pears, peaches, plums, blueberries, and raspberries. I love eating fruits. So every night as I sit down to have a relax and unwind and maybe watch a show or watch a movie, I will have a bowl of fruit.
As you go about living your life, Greg, in business, do you have any pet peeves?
No, not at all. Actually, I'm a very easygoing person. So there's nothing that really irritates me. I don't let any at all. It's like they're all small problems, and they're all solutions. No pet peeve.
That's a great way of looking at it. What is the best career decision that you've ever made?
Going into business for myself. I wish I had done that earlier. I didn't start until I was 50 years old. The time just happened to be right at that particular time. I kind of wish I had done that sooner, because I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, at this point in time in my life, and not have me stuck going into an office.
You appear very calm, collected, and a very decisive individual. What is one tip you have to offer others for becoming more decisive in their life?
Learn as much as you can. I read a lot of books. So at night after my bowl of fruit and after my one or two TV shows, I like to sit down and read a lot, educate myself a lot on all sorts of good things, not only the fun books, but a lot of the self-help books are very good. Learning what other people have done, make their lives better, become more successful, and how to improve yourself.
Speaking of different chapters of life, what is the latest thing that you've learned?
Not to rely on Mother Nature to get your crops watered on that. Yeah, I planted a whole lot of flower seeds out there to get for the four beehives. I needed some more flowers. And I was really hoping Mother Nature would take care of things and water things for me. But I found out that is not going to be the case. So I have to get some sort of irrigation if I want to get all those flower seeds, about 30 acres worth growing.
Revisiting your reading activities, what is the book that you're reading at the moment?
I'm reading the Aragon Inheritance book. That's the adventure fantasy one. And I just got through with another sales book. Another one is on sales. So that was my self-help. And so now I do a self-help, and then I do a relaxing fantasy. So Aragon Inheritance about dragons.
Speaking of discovering strengths in the work that you do, what are two top things that investors can benefit from when it comes to franchising?
The other thing, a experienced franchise consultant to help them find which franchise is right for them. That is going to be the biggest thing. A lot of people don't know we exist, or a lot of people try to do it themselves. I prefer that would come to me as their franchise consultant, but there are many other great franchise consultants. So that would be the top thing if you're into that. And then the other item to think about is, what are you really looking to accomplish? Like, what is your ultimate goal, your dream on that? And then knowing ahead of time what kind of an investment you want to put into it, time-wise and money-wise, that will really help.
Is there any red flag that you identify when you converse with prospective clients and you realize that is not a good reason for enter-franchising?
Yeah, if they want to get rich quick, they're looking at all the latest, hottest franchises, the latest, hottest businesses. They want to get into something, and they want to make a lot of money quickly. That's a big red. Stay away from any of the real hot franchises, because they may be hot today, but they won't be hot tomorrow. And if you're just looking to make money real quick in the short term, probably not the route for you.
What is one major strength that you've developed in the last year?
Patience on that, listening with people and being very patient with them. Different people will take different amounts of time to decide whether or not franchising is right for them and which one is right for them. So you have to have a lot of patience with people to let them decide on their time.
Because patience can be open-ended, do you have a self-imposed time frame of how much time you would invest in a prospective client?
Not particularly, actually. On that respect, I do let them know that when we start talking to franchises, that if time frame is, 2 years from now, then now is not the time to start looking at that. If you are planning on getting into your franchise with 6 months, that's the time frame you need to look at. They're telling me that they're going to decide on it. I just tell them now is not where you're closer.
In your opinion, is there any particular industry that is underrated in the franchising space that deserves more attention?
The services industry does. People don't know about the services industry because when we order the building, we don't know necessarily that there are services industries out there that's as big as something like that. Restoration services, HVAC, plumbing, electrical, it's broke, to be fixed, fixed now. Quite a few times the insurance company is going to pay for it as well, so the client's not paying for it. That is one industry just don't know a lot about, but it is essential industry. No matter what the economy is doing, it will always be.
And finally, Greg, what is the last thing you do before calling it a day?
I go through all my list of people, making certain that I have followed up with each and every one of them, that they've gotten the information they need, franchises are following up with them as well, getting that they requested. And once I've done it and known I've done everything I can to help these people get more educated in franchising for the day, then I call it quits.
Please share with everyone, what do you do and where can people find you?
Go to my website, franchisemaven.com. That's M-A-V as in Victor. For Maven, call me at 361-772-6401. And my email is greg@franchisemaven.com. And I will help you find a franchise that is a good fit for what you are looking to accomplish.
Thank you, Greg, for joining us on ExecuPeaks.
I appreciate your time today, Sasha.